We are going to continue with our sermon series this morning. And the title of our sermon is the same as an old blues record that was recorded back in 1948 by a blues harmonicist named Walter Mitchell. It was such a famous song that even the rock blues group called Fleetwood Mac re-recorded it in 1968, and Aerosmith also re-recorded it in 2004 on their blues album tribute. Now, I don't know how many of you are blues fans, and I appreciate the fact that some of you don't care about blues, but if you ever ride with me in my preacher car, that's all I listen to is Bluesville on Sirius XM radio. And if you've ever been exposed to this genre of music, then you know that the song lyrics of most blues songs highlight a time of trouble accompanied with a call of action or an ultimatum. And this is true for the song that's been referenced, that I have referenced already, that is titled Stop Messing Around. Likewise, this is the reason for choosing Stop Messing Around as our sermon title for today. For the similarities between the song and our sermon is about a call to action this morning. You see, everything I've preached about in the series prior to this Sunday morning has been intentional about us doing about preparing oneself mentally and spiritually for this precise moment in our Lenten journey. So to be clear, we started off in our sermon series with the challenge of being honest with ourselves that some portion of our life is a mess due to the sin condition or the condition of sin. Then we were challenged with examining how our behavioral patterns contribute to the condition of sin that keeps our life in a constant cycle of messes. Last week, I attempted to share that living into the bless this mess mentality was a cop-out to Christians who do not want to do the hard work of discipleship. Because, you see, by living into that bless this mess mentality, we doubt the ability of the power of God to help bring about the changes within our lives that God desires for each of us. Now, I hope by the time, that sermon was finished, we all understood that if we have a desire to change and we will lean into the power of God, then change is possible. Change can be life-altering. So today, this call to action is intentional about us moving from wrestling between our hearts and mind about our mess to identifying our mess so that we can give it over to God and lean into the power of God as we journey with the Holy Spirit, embracing the truths of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Gospel of John, Jesus had a conversation with a devout churchgoer on this very premise. And as we read together these verses this morning, I want you to see if you can hear Jesus' call to action. So I'm going to ask that you join with me as I read this morning from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, "There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader, and he came to Jesus at night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered, 'I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom.' Now Nicodemus asked, 'Well, how is it possible for an adult to be born again?' 'It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?' And Jesus answered, 'I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It is the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord, as we humble ourselves this morning in your presence, and we expand upon your word, may we hear the voice of your Holy Spirit louder than any other voice that may be biding for our attention, our time at this precious moment. Continue to minister to our hearts and soul. Continue to speak to us in ways so that we may continue to grow in the integrity and dignity of Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. Now, I know that many of you have been blessed to hear sermons from this passage, and I too have heard some wonderful evangelistic sermons given from this specific passage. In fact, these verses offer the catchphrase that many Christians still use today when they describe their faith. That phrase is born again. Any of you here ever used that phrase before about your faith? Now, you see, as an evangelical, I do believe that that most folks, I do believe as an evangelical that every person must have a conversion experience to receive the gift of salvation. And when I say a conversion experience, I'm speaking about experiences that may be dramatic in nature or experiences that may be a continuation of your church upbringing. But the point is this. When I say a conversion experience, I'm referencing a specific moment in your life that changes one's trajectory to beginning to live in service to God. So I want you to know that what I'm referencing when I say that term, conversion experience, I'm not talking about somebody who's walked an aisle one time and said a sinner's prayer. And I'm not talking about somebody who's had just an emotional response as a one-time event. I'm talking about people who have truly been touched by God and your life has been altered for the good forever. Now, I also think it's important to say this morning that most scholars agree that the original language of verse 3 can also be translated, instead of born again or born anew, as born from above. And the reason I point this out is because Christ wanted Nicodemus as well as us to understand that we must be born in a new way with the power of God's Spirit remaking or reshaping our lives continuously. It's not a one-time event. It's a continuous event. But please don't misunderstand me either. I believe these verses can and should be used to bring about knowledge of one's need of repentance and a call to action of receiving Christ as one's Lord and Savior. Even if that is, well, for the very first time. But they should also speak to us as the committed believer about our desire to continue to be born anew. So, I want you to know that I'm not seeking to bring anybody's salvation into question. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life by confessing that with your mouth and believing in your heart that God raised him from the grave, then friends, please rest in the promise of God. But if you're here today and you've never made that decision, then I want you to know the time to do so is now. Now. But for the rest of us who are seeking to experience spiritual growth and renewal through this Lenten season, then we must apply the sum of these verses to ourselves. And what I mean by that is, it is time for us to stop messing around and embrace this call to action of giving our mess over to God so that his unconditional, invitational, and transformational grace can empower you and I to live the change we desire, to develop godly virtues in place of our vices and behavioral patterns that nurture our sin condition. I want to tell you, friends, I have witnessed this exchange in many different settings. One such way I have been able to witness this is when I have been in the penitentiary serving with Kairos Prison Ministry. Another way I've witnessed it is whenever I've worked a Chrysalis flight for youth, which is a 3-day journey intentionally designed for youth. And what happens on these weekends, or how I've witnessed this transformational process to begin, is that for prisoners, they usually get a piece of paper, and they begin to listen to these talks about forgiveness, and they write down what they need to be forgiven for, who they need to forgive, and what vices in their life that they need to give over to God. Depending on which penitentiary unit I'm in, sometimes we get them in their own rice paper, and they put them in a bowl of water, and as the paper hits the water, it dissolves. And we remind them that if they are sincere and with a contrite heart, that God remembers their sins no more, just like the paper disappeared. And other units were still able to actually collect those pieces of paper and then put them afire in a pot, which is similar to what we do at the Chrysalis weekend. The youth are given a piece of paper to write down whatever sins or obstacles to God's grace in their life may be. And then they take that piece of paper and they nail it to a cross. And then being on the spiritual team or serving as a spiritual director, I get to collect all those pieces of paper and carry them outside and burn them. So when they come in the next morning, what was once a cross littered with all their obstacles to God's grace that was present there in that moment, when they come in the next morning, all that paper is gone. And all they see is a clean cross. You know, I've been fortunate to be in both settings and witness this, so that I have a clear understanding that the intention of both practices is for individuals to acknowledge the obstacles to God's grace within their lives and to name them for what they truly are. And I want you to know, I've seen some things listed that are hard for people to admit. Some that are generic, like pride and selfishness, hatred and unforgiveness. But I've also seen some very specific, detailed things listed, like porn, adultery, jealousy, bullying, and stealing, to name a few. Now, this practice serves as our response to what God is calling us to do and dying to ourselves and following Him. But I would be neglectful if I did not call to our attention for this to work in tandem with the Holy Spirit. We must have a heart like Nicodemus, a heart and a spirit that is teachable, meaning a heart and a spirit that is open to the continuous transformation of God. You see, without this type of heart, without this type of spirit, this scriptural spiritual discipline will be just a religious exercise that will bear no fruit in your life. So, excuse me. Let me conclude this morning by asking all of you two simple questions. Do you have a teachable spirit, an open heart toward the things of God? Question number two, are you ready to stop messing around and embrace God's call to action in your life? Friends, if you said yes to these two questions, then you are right where God desires for you to be, so that His transformational process may continue in regenerating you in the image and heart of Christ. So today I want you to go home after worship, and for this continuing week, I'm getting ready to close, praise band, so you may want to get ready, prepared. I'm so sorry. I want you, when you go home today, I want you to sit down and take a little time to be once more contemplative and thinking about what it is that you're, why your life is a mess in this specific area. What is contributing to that mess? And then I want you to begin to write down those components, those behavioral patterns, those sins that you need to confess. And I don't want you to do it just for today. I want you to start today, and I want you to do it all the way until next Sunday. And then we will once again talk about addressing these issues and giving them over to God. But the process that I'm asking you to journey with me on through this Lenten season of getting rid of the mess in our life so that we may find redemption, so that our mess can become the message of Jesus Christ, we've got to begin to move from thinking about it, wrestling with it, to owning it by putting it on paper and naming it for what it truly is. I offer this to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.